The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on that same day when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us even went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What an event. What an exciting walk these disciples were taking. Deep in this moment of great confusion, of terror, of doubt, of disappointment, the disciples walked along, sharing in each other's sadness and shock, when a stranger approaches. This interaction is always disarming to me in many ways. I'm amazed at the disciples' condescension to the stranger in this moment. The stranger appears and asks them what they're talking about, and they immediately says, "Where have you been? Your head under a rock or something? Haven't you been paying attention to the news? It's been everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. What happened?" They condescend, and then they report the events. And in the midst of that reporting, even they confess their own disappointments, their own feelings. "We had hoped," they said. "We had hoped." The stranger then, in response, calls them dumb. He says, "Don't be foolish. Are you so foolish and weak of heart that you do not believe what was supposed to happen with the Messiah is what happened?" And then the stranger begins to teach all about the Messiah throughout the entirety of Scripture. This chance encounter on the road to Emmaus by these two disciples and this stranger takes an exciting turn when they reach their destination. And the stranger continues to walk on. The disciples stop their discussing, stop their talking, and say to the stranger, "Please, stay with us." They extend their hospitality to this stranger. The stranger accepts. They go into their place. They sit down to eat. And then something miraculous happens. That stranger, that unknown person, whose interaction with them, you know, was a little testy at the start, breaks the bread, blesses it, and suddenly there is Jesus. The disciples welcomed this stranger into their midst, invited them, this stranger, to their table, only to find that in that stranger was their Lord and their God. When we welcome the stranger, when we extend our hospitality, we open ourselves to Christ. I have a question I want to ask you. And I know all of you are going, "Oh, great, he's going to make us talk to each other again. I'm not going to do that." But I want to ask you a question. Just look around the room, and I want to know, which of these people do you see which you consider a stranger? Not many, I'm guessing, right? We all have some level of familiarity with one another. Some of us are even very, very close. The closest person I have in my life is sitting right there. But these people, these friends or acquaintances, fellow church members, spouses, trusted relationships in our lives, weren't they strangers once too? In the last couple of months, during adult forums, last few months, we engaged in some curious questions. And amongst those questions, one was, when have you ever made friends with a stranger? At the table, I sat at a lot of people kind of and hawed at first. Boy, made friends with a stranger. I don't know. And then one person said, "Well, I made friends with a stranger once, and we've been married for 60 years. Nearly all of the relationships we have in our life began as strangers. I think even of the day my son was born and I held him in my arms for the first time. And though he seemed familiar, though he looked just like me, that's what I said to my wife, oh my God, he's me. But even as I held him in my arms, I could not help but recognize that I had no idea who this little person was. Yet those relationships that we have that begin as strangers, we know all too well, have the ability to transform our lives, to change who we are. And isn't that what happened on the road to Emmaus? These disciples, filled with a lot of big feelings, like we talk about in our house with our kids, overwhelmed by these big feelings, responding sharply to anyone asking them about what they're talking about. They're so upset by these big feelings. And yet, as they walk along and are taught by this stranger, they are willing to receive that information that that stranger is able to impart to them. As they extend their welcome, they expose themselves, they become vulnerable to this person by saying, come, sit with us, eat with us, stay with us a while. They allow this person into their midst, and in their midst, that person reciprocates by breaking that bread, and suddenly all is changed. The disciples are so changed that they immediately, within that hour, get up, turn around, and walk the 7 miles back. A professor of mine in seminary wrote a, I suppose, famous in church circles book back in the early 90s called Welcoming the Stranger. His name is Pat Kiefert. And in the book, he tells a story about a day when he had just finished a funeral. It was hot. It was July. He was serving a congregation in Chicago, and he walked into a McDonald's just to get some fries and a pop and enjoy the air conditioning and relax. The funeral had not been a good one for him. He didn't feel like he'd done a good job with the family. First, they drove to the wrong cemetery. It was just one of those days. He was having one of those days. He sat down at the table with his pop and his fries, trying to decompress and just relax and cool off, when a large black man began to approach him at his table. Pat admits to his own racist instincts, and he checked for his wallet to make sure it was safe and to make sure maybe he had a little bit of cash to give to the man. The man came and sat down at his table. He said, how are you today, Father? Pat remembered he left his collar on. A lot of pastors like to take them off before we go out. Pat said, I've had a tough day. Nothing went as I'd hoped it would go, and I'm tired and I'm hot, and it's been a hard day. The man said, do you really believe all of this stuff that you preach? That Jesus was raised from the dead, and so you will be too? And Pat, in a spirit of honesty, although he's a pretty honest guy most of the time, sometimes to a fault, said to the man, on my best days, absolutely. On my good days, most of the time. And on my bad days, it's a struggle. Years later, while he was studying this passage in Luke's gospel, he recognized just what had happened. Here's what he writes. Not until these several years had passed did I recognize who the stranger was sitting with me in the booth at McDonald's. I take this to be somewhat of a parable for the church's present circumstance. I am convinced that the church is on a journey, on the road to Emmaus. On this journey, we are accompanied by a company of strangers. In particular, the mainline churches, like ours, especially those with a liturgical tradition, like ours, are at a crucial juncture in this journey. We have enjoyed the company of our Lord, but have lost the habit of inviting strangers to dinner or taking up conversations with strangers on the road. We have become so maintenance-oriented that we fail to see the mission that is within our doors, or at least within our neighborhood. As we move out of this period of great difficulty, this period of unrest, this period where the numbers that have been declining for many years seem to have sped up, we find that we have a difficult task before us. A task that though we know how to do, we have to relearn and re-engage with deeply, intentionally. When we welcome the stranger, when we let our guard down and extend our hand, our ear, our heart, our home to the stranger, we allow for transformation to happen. We admit the truth of the resurrection. When we welcome the stranger, we allow our eyes to be opened so that we might see the face of God. Welcoming the stranger as the disciples did on that road to Emmaus, engaging with them in open, vulnerable, intentional relationship with people that we do not know, where we reserve our judgment, where we allow for the possibility that they might teach us. When we do this, it could prove transformational for the church. When we recognize that we might not only have been sent out onto the road to be bearers of the gospel, but also receivers of it. We could change for good. I know that, and you all know that. Because if it can happen to us in our own lives, through our own relationships with one another, with all of those many strangers we now call family, friends, when we admitted them into our lives and left ourselves vulnerable to them, we were changed forever. Jesus comes to us, yes, in all the miraculous and amazing ways. But perhaps the most amazing and miraculous way is in the face of the stranger. Are our eyes open to see him? Amen.